Chapter 28. The chief culprit in the destruction of all the very saintly labors of Ashiata Shiamash. You'll remember, my boy, I have already told you that the learned beings then assembled in the city of Babylon from almost the whole surface of the earth were not primarily to blame for the arising of the factors that caused the final destruction of the surviving beneficent results of the conscious labors of the very saintly Ashiata Shiamash for later generations of your favorites. But as had long before become proper to most of the terrestrial learned beings of new formation, they were merely like contagious bacilli, the unconscious disseminators of every kind of already existing evil among their own and subsequent generations. The basis of all the great and small maleficent activities of those learned beings and of all their unconscious harmful manifestations leading to the destruction of the last remnants of the results so beneficent for the three brain beings there of the very saintly conscious labors of the essence-loving Ashiata Shiamash was, as my further detailed research on his saintly activities showed me, the invention of a learned being well known in his day, who was also a learned being of new formation, named Lentil Hamsanin. Thanks to the double center of gravity of his inner existence, the highest being part of the presence of this terrestrial three-brain being was coated and perfected up to the required gradation of objective reason. And later, this highest being part became, as I once told you, one of those 313 highest being bodies who are called eternal chasnamus individuals and who have the place of their further existence in the universe on a small planet named Eternal Retribution. Strictly speaking, as regards this terrestrial three-brained being, Lentil Hamsanin, I should now have to keep my promise and explain to you fully the expression chasnamus, but I prefer to do so a little later at the proper place in the flow of my tale. The maleficent invention, or as contemporary terrestrial learned beings of new formation would say, the composition, or even the creation of that learned being, was actualized, as I have already told you, at least 2 centuries before the time when, during my 5th sojourn, I first visited the city of Babylon, where learned beings were assembled partly by coercion and partly voluntarily, from almost the whole surface of the planet. This maleficent invention of that learned being of a former period reached the learned beings of the Babylonian epoch by means of what is called a Kashi Reitlir, inscribed by Lentil Hamsanin with his own hand. I find it necessary to give you a few details about the arising of this Lentil Hamsanin, and how, thanks to the accidental circumstances of his environment, he later became a great learned being and an authority for his contemporaries almost everywhere on the surface of your planet. This very characteristic story can serve as an excellent example of a practice long ago firmly established in the process of existence of these three-brain beings who have taken your fancy, by which some of them become, so to say, authorities, at first for other learned beings of new formation, and then for all the unfortunate ordinary beings there. It was by chance that I came upon the details concerning the conditions of Lentil Hamsanin's arising and subsequent formation into a responsible being, while I was trying to find out which aspects of the strange psyche of your favorites had led to the gradual change and finally to the total destruction of all those beneficent forms introduced and fixed in the process of their being existence by the ideally foreseeing reason of our now omnicosmic, very saintly Ashiata Shiamash during the period of his self-preparation to be what he is now for the whole of the universe. It was then that I learned that this Lentrohamsenin arose, or as is said there, was born, on the continent of Asia in the city of Kron Bukhon, the capital of Nyevya. His conception resulted from the blending of two heterogeneous exioichares formed in two already elderly three-brained Keshchapmartnian beings. His producers, or as they say, his parents, having chosen the capital of Nyevya as their place of permanent existence, had moved there 3 terrestrial years before the arising of that future universal cosmos. He was the firstborn of his elderly and very rich parents. For although the blending of their exioichares had been actualized many times before, yet, as I found out, they were so absorbed in acquiring riches that they did not wish to be hindered in this pursuit, and always had recourse at each actualization of this sacred blending to what is called tusi, or as your contemporary favorites express it, abortion. By the time the source of the active principle of his origin, in other words, his father, had built up his fortune, he had several caravans of his own, as well as caravanserais for bartering goods in various cities of Nyevya. As for the source of the passive principle of his origin, that is, his mother, she at first followed the profession of what is called Tusidji, but later she organized a holy place on a small mountain and spread propaganda about its supposed significance, which was that childless beings of the female sex on visiting this place would become able to conceive. When this couple, in what is called their declining years, had become very rich, they moved to the city of Kron Bukhon to exist there solely for their own pleasure. But soon they felt that without a real result, that is, without a child, pleasure could never be complete. And from that time on, without sparing any money, they took every possible measure to obtain such a result. With this in view, they visited all sorts of holy places maintained for that purpose, with the exception, of course, of their own holy mountain, and tried every kind of medical means that purported to aid the blending of heterogeneous exioichares. And when by chance this blending actually took place, there finally arose that long-awaited result of theirs, later called Lentrohamsenin. From the very first, his parents were completely wrapped up in what they described as their God-sent result, or son, and spent vast sums on his pleasures and on what is called his education. Their ideal was to give him the very best upbringing and education the earth could provide. For this purpose, they engaged what are called tutors and teachers, both from their own country of Nyevya and from various distant lands. The foreign tutors and teachers were brought there chiefly from the country today called Egypt. By the time this papa's and mama's darling was nearing the age of responsible being, he was already, as they say there, very well brought up and educated. That is, he had in his presence a great many data for all kinds of ego plasticuri, consisting, as usual, of fantastic and dubious information. And later, when he reached responsible age in the abnormally established conditions of existence there, He responded automatically to all kinds of corresponding accidental shocks. When this future great learned being reached responsible age, he had indeed a great deal of information, or, as it is called there, knowledge. Nevertheless, in relation to this information or knowledge, he had acquired no being whatever.